Hello, everyone. Welcome to your favorite Pwn.College podcast. This is Pwn Talk, and I'm Adam D., your host, and I have here with me, we've just been getting rid of everyone. So right now it's just me and Zardis. Zardis, why don't you say hi?
Hello, hackers.
All right. There we go. So got that out of the way. So we're actually here to talk about a topic that is pretty common in the security industry, and I'm gonna like pop some stuff on you that I didn't prep you for. So we're here to talk about certificates, and we've pretty much been thinking about our philosophy on learning cybersecurity is you learn by doing, you learn with fingers on keyboards. And we kind of don't care what that piece of paper says as long as you can do stuff. So
the real piece of paper with the flags we made along the way.
Or the flags we got along the way, right?
That's right.
So can you talk about maybe what are some of the certificates that exist in the cybersecurity space and what they're kind of for?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously people ask us a lot, like, what cert should I go for? And, you know, I do often tell people I'm actually a Cisco certified network associate.
Wow.
Yeah. So I try not to let it get to my head often. But, you know, if I need to configure some networking, I think you can do this. You're a Cisco certified network associate.
You know, what when you can't? Like, how many VLANs have you set up?
If only I was a Cisco certified network professional.
Oh, is that the next level to do VLANs? It's just subnets.
Yeah. So when I was at college at RPI, we had it was really cool. It was like two classes. The first one was CCNA, and the second one was the CCNP. And I don't know. At the time, there was. Like, this is back when, like, Novell had some sort of certification that everyone respected. And, you know, like, it was a different world. So ever since then, you know, I remember I started my first job out of college, and there's someone that, they have a CISSP. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what CISSP stands for, but that was like the very standard.
Well, if you would have just kept talking, I was going to look it up and then say it. Of course, you mean the Certified Information Systems Security Professional.
That's right. Exactly. And there's a bunch of stuff that you had to, you know, memorize, and then very expensive tests to pass, and then, you know, continuing tests and so on. In industry, then as a bit now, these certs were CISSP and others. The field shifted, but the letter soup concept remains. Were somewhat fairly respected industry wide and so on. People would, you know, when people would ask, well, what cert should I do? CISSP, and hopefully your employer has like $20,000 to, you know, put in on your behalf.
What is this? Quick, name five certificates in cybersecurity.
Me?
Yeah, you. You just showed up. You're now on the spot. I quizzed Jan before you got
network
here.
Network Plus.
Okay, that's
like the
one.
OSCP guys. There's Network Plus. I think there's Security Plus.
Okay.
I don't remember what the earlier is. There A is there A plus or like A? It's not A star. A it's like is it A plus?
A star is the search algorithm, A-star? But A no. Well, A star is the search
there's
algorithm.
There's an A something.
A plus is
computing,
is
like IT toward. Yeah. Like I know you work your way towards Security Plus. Is OSCP the organization or is that a cert? Is there an OSCP cert or organization?
Hey, who's OSCP? Asking the questions here? I'm asking the questions. You just answer.
Something.
OSCP is Offensive Security Certified Professional. That is a cert done
Cisco,
by OFSEC.
Cisco Plus? Cisco does have the important
Cisco
thing,
Certified Network Associate. You might remember that as, you know.
There you go. All right, you did it. I was trying to do the meme.
That's bad.
I don't know the cert world well, but I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Professionally, everyone's like, oh, CISSP. And then you go to DEF CON, and I don't know if you want to highlight this viewer chat here, where this, you know, individual's company doesn't care about certs. Well, I wasn't going to out their name, but Jared
it does it automatically. I don't know. That's probably a fake name. That's a fake that's name.
If anything, it's a red hair. It's a red flag. And in the DEF CON world, which is, you know, more my world, that was absolutely it. So, you know, I never bothered with any certs after undergrad, just because to pass the class, you had to get the CCNA, which is kind of cool, but, you know, whatever. I put it on my resume for a couple of years. So whenever someone asks me, like, which cert should I get? I say, well, why bother with certs? Just do cool stuff. And then you will kind of, you know, get to where you need to be. You want to work in vulnerability research and so on, then I think the certs aren't as important. But if you want to work
because
in cybersecurity,
there's another type of cert in terms of, let's say, vulnerability research, right?
That's right. The Pwn College Blue. No, I'm just kidding.
No, also not what I meant. And I think you do know what I meant. What did I mean?
Yeah, it's the actual skills. It's the your experience. It's, hey, I did accomplish this. I have found these vulnerabilities. I was involved
in this. Exactly. Yeah, you can point to CVEs, you know, end day exploits that you've written.
Right. In the vulnerability research world. But if you're in IT security world, which is a big employer, then a lot of those, you know, when I was working in cybersecurity at a major U.S. bank, the certs mattered in our hiring process. I actually didn't have them and I was hired anyways, but, you know, they were a differentiator.
And it kind of, you know, to take a look at it from another perspective, you are very much involved in the cert game.
Yeah, yeah. And inside the ultimate cert is a degree in computer science, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
which ASU, of course, sells for $40,000 a pop, which is twice as expensive.
John, why do that? Why not just do cool stuff?
Yeah, and so then it also depends again on the companies that you're, and on your direction after graduate school. So, Jared said here, certs are for HR. And if you're going to work for a hit cool enough company, right? They're not going to care about maybe even the degree and so on.
But exactly. Which is what kind of my point, right? Is like the degree, you know, some companies will hire people without a computer science degree, depending on what you have done. It does serve a purpose in the sense that usually it establishes some level of baseline of knowledge or ability to learn, or just like I think just because somebody has a CS bachelor's doesn't mean that they can actually program well and are a good programmer, it's probably more highly correlated, right, than like I've seen people who have degrees that are very bad programmers. I've seen people who don't have any degrees who are excellent programmers, right? It's not that one can't exist without the other. It does establish, and this is where it gets to HR, if you're having hundreds or thousands of people applying to your jobs and you have to somehow filter them, like you fundamentally can't just interview each of them and be like, what are the cool things that you have done in your, you know, time or whatever? It doesn't scale. So it's kind of degrees, these certifications are also kind of used as this winnowing down function.
And so would you kind of end up at, as you go to, you know, the late stage of this, is you end up saying, yeah, well, we can filter down significantly our applicant pool by requiring this cert, or even, you know, a master's instead of a bachelor's degree, or what have you. So, you know, when I was in industry, unfortunately, we had a very strict rule in HR that was unbypassable, that everyone had to have a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. And I had a mentor of mine that was miraculously on the market briefly. I'm like, come work here. I had the internal recommendation. He had an incredible fit, incredible experience, et cetera, et cetera. HR said no. Didn't have a degree. That is
a big company that wants to have an established thing.
Yeah, this is the frustrating thing, right?
But there are other things that go along with a bachelor's degree, right? There's a reason why bachelor's degrees also have you do a breadth requirement, right? Like there's usually some indication that you can write well, that you can communicate. This is not to say that those, because like people get very defensive, right? Of like, I'm saying these things. That doesn't mean these skills don't exist in people that don't have degrees. Looking at it from the hiring perspective, this is a lot of the reasons why. And you can think organizationally, it's the nature of different organizations operate differently, right? Like the organization you were with, I think it's fair to describe as like a very conservative organization in terms of the people they're looking for, conservative in terms of like just not rocking the boat. Like you have a well-defined job. It's like very much like an enterprise-y type of thing. Whereas if you work in, like somebody just said, a small startup, like this is something that you have a lot more freedom in your prerequisites and what you do, what your role is. It may change day to day. But then on the, there is something to be said, for the cert, if it's like, okay, hey, like your networking example, like, well, if the job has networking, like it should either be A, easy to do this, get the certification, or B, like this is a way to demonstrate, especially when a lot of companies require that, it becomes kind of like the de facto standard that you just need to do. And like, and on the flip side, the other thing and kind of where we're going towards today is like, there's companies want to develop their employees and help them build new skills, right? There's like your job and what you're doing and the skills that you have. Hopefully those overlap, right? If your skills are a subset that bad of your job. But, the company wants you to grow your skills outside of your job so you can go do other things and go, help the company develop new business or expand your role in what things you operate in. And the certification can act as a way for the company to know concretely what is it getting for when it's paying for you and your time to go do something. And you have a thing that you can say, look, my skills have improved in some way. And it's, I think, very specifically not a degree, right? It's not a 4-year long degree. We're talking about on the order of months. And I think that the other thing that leads to then is now that as an employee, you have this thing that you can now point to that also can have justification for why you should be getting pay raises, because your skills measurably from when you were hired to now have increased, right?
Because you have this cert. Yeah,
exactly. And I I'm not saying I, agree like that this is right or the best possible way, but it's different ways of looking at it. Like, why do these things exist?
I think how do you design a better system, right? Like, it's not easy. Like, there's a reason things are the way they are. There's, mm-hmm. Really good reasons.
Yeah, the frustrating thing, of course, is, and I think what everybody understands, is when, like, this disconnect between, like, the people who filter for the job say that you need this certification, but it doesn't actually relate to the job. And you get people that go through this process that actually don't know any of that stuff. So it's like, why are we even requiring this certification anyways?
It's something else.
Exactly.
That just came up. Yeah. So sometimes an employer that would otherwise fund your training or a conference travel won't do it. I've run into this exact problem, mm-hmm. where I kept trying to get my employer to fund my travel to DEF CON when I was in industry. And this kept not working because there's no training that I'm attending that would give a cert. Now there is. I mean, in part to kind of help fix this problem. And because I didn't have a cert that required continuing education credits. And other people that did,
like CISSP
did
does.
Get funded to go. Yep. Exactly. Which was very frustrating.
And that, in, so anyways, like, other,
screw
other,
certs. Down wait, wait. Cert.
You're definitely not going where we're going on this podcast, my friend. And other professional organizations require this like continuous learning. Like lawyers have to like to continue their bar status. They have this continuing learning requirement where every year they have to devote a certain number of hours to like investing in their education. And it's not exactly the same thing because it's not certificates, but it's trainings and other types of things that they kind of have to do. So it's not like it's completely out there that that people would do that. I think you're just upset that you didn't get to go to DEF CON.
I did go. I just had to pay for it.
Okay, you had to pay to go to DEF CON.
Yeah, and I also didn't get, I had to take time off and stuff, right?
Like, right, right.
It's some bullshit. Other people, I mean, what the fuck? Like, anyways, yes.
Wait, so taking time off meaning you didn't have to work, but they still paid you?
Normally, like for the people that were there as a work trip, they were getting paid and they didn't have to take time off.
So you didn't get paid?
No, I had to use my PTO. Paid time off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. But you still got paid. You got paid to attend
DEF CON. You had to go to work on Monday, but you had to use PTO to do it. That would be like, use your PTO to come work.
But it's not work, crazy. It's DEF CON. It's especially a difficult argument to make to somebody who's been to DEF CON. and knows how you invest that time in that DEF CON trip could be very different.
I'm just saying, like, it is a weird line that, like, oh, you have continuing education credits that you're going to, you know, drink your way through DEF CON parties.
Well, a lot of part, and this was when you were a lot younger, right? So maybe you hadn't developed your, I don't even know if you have it now, but you haven't developed those bureaucratic skills. For instance, everything needs a business justification, right? To do, even in our line of work. And so it's like, why do we need this laptop, this device, this thing? Like, if you're early in your career, you can say very stupid things that get rejected because that's a bad business justification. But if you can phrase it properly, then you have, and maybe just the people that had the CERT continuous learning requirement, it was a lot easier to justify. But yeah, it's life.
Hey,
dealing.
So anyways,
so
screw CERTs, hag the planet.
So screw CERTs, hag the planet. On that note, we're excited to share the ACE Institute. So maybe you can refresh people on what is the ACE Institute so we can frame what we're doing.
So Pone College is quite a beast. We have how many, like, are we at 60,000 hackers yet?
50,000.
Probably not yet.
We're like 53,000 or something like that.
Yeah, 53,000.
Is that even a good number? I mean, that's just the total number of users in the database, right?
Yeah.
No, that have solved at least one challenge.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The total number of users in the database is absurd, but that's because we get like accounts from interesting countries registering tens of thousands of.
I think it's just automated things that want to have
just register accounts.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, good luck. Yeah, so we have, 50 some thousand active hackers on there. Every month we see over 8,000 people using it. The American Cybersecurity Education Institute was created at Arizona State to help shepherd this type of education. And help, you know, help Pone College thrive, right? So it supports Pone College's development and helps.
Okay. I'm going to try to share. Did that come through?
Yeah. Fancy.
Yeah. So in case you want to learn more, you can go to look for ACE Institute ASU into Google, or you can look at ctf.asu.edu and you can click on education and take us right here. Because some of the cool things, you know, we're running this not just at ASU, but a lot of other universities. Let's see, where's the
Good luck, man. You have to find partners. Oh, you're right there. Scroll down on the left. Adam
partners.
Is struggling to use the web.
Okay. I'm struggling to podcast while also doing this. So you can see here there's actually a ton of universities, and this is people that are using Pwn College content in their classes, from, you know, Boston to Boston University to Grove City College.
Or working with us to
Purdue,
yeah,
develop content, or yeah. So it's really great. So the ACE Institute is really what helps and is able to like make sure that we can keep like Pwn.college running and available to everyone, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, because, you know, the electricity to power these ancient servers that luckily we have access at the university to, even that's not free. And of course, the time for the people to work on parts of the platform and so on.
Yeah.
So we started the ACE Institute maybe what now, a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Started working with kind of the world to spread this style of education. And the number one question that we got over time, you know, even before the creation of the ACE Institute, now it's really like, now that there's like a lightning rod for questions about education, this type of education at ASU, is, hey, can I get a cert from Pwn College?
It all comes back to certs, which actually goes into Jared's point earlier. I think Jared left, but about like work will, you know, only pay for certs, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. And every time we're like, you know what? Screw certs. Show skills, not certs.
Yeah.
But people bring up, well, because there's no cert, I can't, you know, use my training time at my institution to work on Pwn College. Because there's no certs, I'm missing out on a raise because I can't demonstrate, you know, this skill. And so it's something that we've been thinking of, like, how do we, you know, do this without the initial worry is if we create like a cert, hold on, the auto mod is going haywire on Twitch.
We have an auto mod?
Yeah, apparently. If we create a cert, our worry was like, you know, ASU is in the end in the business of charging for tuition, and Pwn College has a ton of free content out there. We start handing out certs, what will that mean for the free content and all of this stuff? So it took us a while to figure out how to make a kind of a pipeline and an organizational setup that can support certs without kind of fleecing people for money for accessing the material, because this would, you would quit if we had to do this, right? Like if suddenly we had to pop a credit card form in front of Pwn College, we would.
That's just not the goal. Like the goal is to spread this to as much people as possible. So
yeah, and so, you know, how to balance those two things. And someone just now on Twitch said, hey, it's not the certs I have a problem with. It's the insane amount of money I am forced to spend to get these certs. So there's a question. How do we enable people to continue learning for free, to reach the maximum number of people and lift the, you know, maximum number of boats, while granting a cert, that is a cert that's recognizable by a cert granting institution.
And doesn't just say Pwn.college cert.
And doesn't say, it isn't the link to belts, even though
I think
a lot of
actually
people value belts over certs.
Yeah, exactly. But and I think that's great, and we want to keep it that way.
Exactly. And we, you know, again, like in if a world tomorrow, if we wake up in a world where we're forced to charge people to go on the belts list, we would riot. But again, it's not a cert from a kind of a, like a cert granting organization. And how do we make that happen? And so, you know, Amateur Hour just asked, hey, what if ASU backs a cert? And that's exactly what we have done. So, Adam, share away. Boom.
Live now.
We're
I'll drop it in the chat.
Trying this out with the Linux Luminarium, our free, like everything else, Linux curriculum. The Linux Luminarium is, of course, our very first real module on Pwn College. And we're just trying out how do we balance that free learning with a cert. Do people really want a cert? Are people happy with free material and just the cert that, you know, costs money? Or what are, you know, what's the community's preferences in this regard? And being able to do this through ASU, who, even though we charge tuition and like money as much as everyone else, have a public education mission that is, you know, not the increase of shareholder value.
Yeah. And I think the key thing to mention here, and I don't want to commit publicly to the exact split because I don't know, this stuff can always change, but a significant chunk of this money goes to like the development to the ACE Institute, basically running like Pwn College, deving Pwn College features, which is part of the reason why we decided to do it. It's like, yeah, okay, it's ASU's name, and like ASU will take some cut, obviously, because they, you know, will use that to fund stuff, which is great for them. But the bulk of the money goes to the ACE Institute to fund Pwn College. So we said, hey, if like this is helpful for people, then we'll do it. And if people like it, with like the Linux Luminarium is the first one we're doing like this, you know, we're super open to feedback. We can do that, like, because this is a, once we get it, because this is literally like you do this and the course you go to says go do Pwn College Linux Luminarium.
It literally is Linux Luminarium.
Yes. Like,
there's no hidden content, in case someone's wondering that right now. This is Linux Luminarium.
Yeah. And so we were able to kind of achieve this, like, hey, people that want certs, they go, and this is an experiment. I don't know how many people want the Linux cert, but, you know, you can imagine if this amateur hour just said, make them do the Linux Ludicy module. Yeah, so the Linux Ludicy module is the evil twin of the Linux Luminarium. It's the, when it turns around, and it's the Voldemort on the back of the head sort of thing.
So great question. What if we already have it completed? Guess what? You've already done the stuff. You have the cert already. You just have to pay this fee and you get the cert. Like, it'll just, there's no additional work to do in this module. That's just extra busy work, because, you know, we don't really think that that's the right way to go. We'd rather like improve content on Pwn College for everyone and then say, hey, so this kind of works two ways of like, hey, if you've already done Linux Luminarium and you want a cert to go with that, boom, come back here, go through the process, and in what, probably 2 days, you get your certificate. But then I think hopefully
there's a couple manual like check marks that we have to clip.
Yeah, then hopefully the reverse side is, then if you, like, maybe there will be some people that get to this through ASU's list of certifications, and then that actually gets them using Pwn College and they become part of the Pwn College community.
Yeah. And so there's this, hopefully this keeps the cert viable as a cert, and ASU is a respected name, and, you know, the granting of certificates, because people trust us to grant much bigger certificates than, you know, the Linux Luminarium. And at the same time, this allows Pwn College, helps support Pwn College in staying free and open and supported. There is a, you know, possibility for growth here. So if this is a success, right, you can imagine certs showing off like small pieces of the curriculum. For example, an introductory web security cert, or intermediate web security cert, or advanced web security cert, as we have additional content.
Why do you keep making those examples? Why don't you go with examples of stuff we already have?
That's a good point. It's stuff that someone earlier asked in the Twitch chat, like, are you creating new content? The answer, of course, is yes.
Yes, it just
takes time to perfect it. And one of the upcoming things is deeper and deeper in web security. Right now, we have an excellent trajectory through kernel exploitation, right? From, you know, simple user space exploits onward. And you can imagine a series of certs or one big kernel, offensive kernel expertise cert or something along these lines. I am personally a little hesitant about the blue belt cert.
I don't think that's what we would call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's a super interesting question, right? Of like, how do we balance because it could be, you know, first, like maybe we have these little micro certs, like if somebody just wants to show skills in Linux or intro cryptography or something, they could do that. But then if they wanted to demonstrate, you know, a certificate in, intro to cybersecurity, like I was thinking like orange belt content, right? Of like that probably corresponds to something, but
an experiment, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because it would be silly if you got all the certs and then got the orange belt cert. Like to me, that's kind of silly, but like but it does make sense of like, if this becomes a way for people to more formally recognize the belt process. The question is how to make sure that like people don't go, well, we don't want to see your belt printout page or see you on the /belts. Like we want to see this cert, right? We definitely want to avoid that.
Yeah.
So like, I think the thing to think about is ASU is a certifying body. Like that's one of the main things they do. And ASU funds a lot of Pwn College. So this could be a cool way to help fund Pwn College.
Yeah.
But this is just a certifying thing. The learning is always free. The certifying is now what we're experimenting with, is the certifying costs money. On the other hand, you know, if you put on your LinkedIn, you know, I have a blue belt at Pwn College, like we're not going to stop you from doing that. Like,
oh, in fact, that people can copy.
It's an experiment to see if employers like this, if it's just adds value to people and also turns out to be maybe a good way to help fund Pwn College.
Exactly. And if it's not good, we'll kill it. Like, we're not tied to this at all. And if it's
good... So come get it ASAP. Get your Linux cert
before it's gone. Get it now before it's gone. Idea that just popped into my head. Is it useful at all to link to this from the Linux Luminarium dojo or no? Is that too much of a...
Yeah, it's interesting. There's this constant, like, you know, desire to keep Pwn College pure in some way. Right.
I think eventually we're going to have like this meta section of the website, like the about, that's get everything off the front page. And one of the things we can put there is talk about ACE. We can talk about how ACE does these certs. We can talk about Pwn College LLC, what Pwn College LLC does, and just talk about the meta stuff on this other page that is like explains some of these concepts.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, there's some value, I think. Because I just based on the trajectory of all other information that we just don't like put front and center, people will flood into Discord and say, hey, guys, how can I get a cert? And they already do. And they would continue to do that. And that would be sufficient. They'd say, hey, go here. Or we could put it on the, you know, like, the, hey, you know, do you need to prove to your employer that you have these skills? Boom.
Like, this might enable some people who, you know, maybe don't have a lot of free time, but their employer is willing to pay for them to spend company time learning. And now this is a route for them being able to justify.
And to me, that's what would justify putting it on the website, is to like, hey, this gets more people doing Pwn College, basically. Like, that's, the flip side, it gets them, even if it doesn't necessarily get that, maybe it gives them a way to get something tangible, like a, whatever, that they can show to their employers out of it to like justify the time that they spent, maybe.
That's an interesting benefit there, like, you know, and we have a lot of, we know people in other sectors that, you know, like I need a cert to show to, like,
it's an experiment. We're gonna find out how useful this is.
Anyways, tell us. We like to experiment, so
it's been probably going back in my thoughts. It's probably been the most frequently requested thing is a cert, which is interesting because, you know,
when you're such a programmer, you just kept thinking they said assert. You're like, what, assert true, assert false? What conditions? I don't understand.
If you're already using HTTPS, what exactly. more certs do you need?
What more certs do you want? I don't know whose certs those are.
Yeah, they're Cloudflare certs.
Oh, the now they are. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Cool.
I think after the discussion of what level to certify at belts or what, I like the idea of tracks through the material more.
Yeah. And we, yeah, that's interesting. And because
it's a different dimension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Or maybe a different grouping. And the other thing I think that we would love feedback on from people is like, do you want additional challenge stuff? Or even, I mean, we have total control over these certificates. So like some of the things we brainstormed, which I think part of the reason why we're doing this podcast is to bring those out and get feedback, is like, we could have as part of this certificate, not only do you have to do the stuff, but then you have to answer quizzes on it or something like that. Like that is, you know, we are capable of writing questions that people can test their knowledge, you know, basically like, is there any value to having like another level or is it custom challenges that like maybe is the like a capstone almost on the cert that's like, okay, you do all the public stuff, but you still have to do a little bit more. Like I'm actually I don't think I'm in favor of either of those ideas. I just, they are stuff that I know we talked about. So I just wanted to bring it forward to see if other people had thoughts.
Yeah, because like with quizzes, right? You know, someone mentioned if you fail the cert and you have to pay again to retake it. Like, obviously, this is messed up. Like, doesn't seem good. But if you can just retake an infinite amount of time, you know, what's the point of the quiz?
Like, I think the question is, do we need to put resources into preserving like the integrity of the cert, right?
Yes,
exactly. I think that's why you add these tests.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. Although I would hope that an individual person isn't really concerned about that. But
no, but like I think about it, like, for example, on the ASU side, right, we teach these courses on Pwn College. Mm-hmm. And one of the tricky things is as soon as you have an incentive other than to learn,
right,
there's potentially integrity problems, right? Like that's one of my hesitancies in certs in general. For example, if we created the blue belt cert and maybe it was free, even like ignore, you know, this being an ASU thing, is like at some point do people just start buying accounts with blue belts and like faking certs and like now we got to get into this whole business of like verifiably proving that this person has blue belt knowledge. Yeah. And like, I don't know, it's like a tricky problem that also sounds kind of annoying.
Yeah, it's very interesting situation. Like I hadn't actually thought about buying a whole account because obviously we have a lot of analytics and that we can attempt to say, oh well, you know, whatever, this isn't a natural progression or whatnot, but someone just plain buys someone's blue belt account.
Yeah,
I would be surprised if someone's done this right now, but someday if the blue belt like gets such a recognition, like I don't know, like
people buy leagues accounts or Riot accounts, they buy like StarCraft accounts I've seen, or Battle.net accounts that are certain ranked at certain levels. To me it's like insane. But yeah, we did research in like underground economies, and this was when we were the same time we found the concession abuse stuff, Jan. Like the same other things that we're servicing were these accounts. You're just like, why are people selling these hacked accounts? And you realize like, oh shit, yeah, they just want to do that. And it's similar to the concession abuse thing that we realized, is like people buy and sell Amazon accounts and you're like, but why? Like if you go into somebody's Amazon account and you buy something, all of the saved credit cards, if you change the delivery address, it makes you re-enter the credit card, so you can't use any of the saved credit cards. But what you can do is commit concession abuse fraud by buying something and sending it to yourself and stealing it and claiming that it never got it and getting a refund and all this stuff. And what they're leveraging is the trust and the reputation in that account that Amazon already has. That's what's so wild. Because if you did that exact same behavior with a brand new account, you get flagged and banned. So yeah, anyways, this is...
That's how I get away with
it. Don't sell your Pwn College account. That's super lame.
It'd be so lame to have to put time and effort into thinking about this problem instead of like education.
Yep.
You know, I've actually bought GameCube memory cards with like multiplayer game saves with everything unlocked, because I was like, I don't know where my memory card is with all the Smash Bros. Characters. I know that one, I know where it is, but like, I don't know, some games.
Mm-hmm.
I have like a real life. I'm not going to go and re-unlock it so I can play with my kids or whatever, right? So you buy an already unlocked memory card.
The ethics and telling people out of one side of your mouth that you don't want them to do that for Phone College while doing it on Smash.
Oh, come on. These are low, like not online games, right? Like it's just, you know.
Are there not professional Smash players?
They don't depend on needing to unlock the character.
Are you sure?
I would.
Not like entry into the tournament is like, but yeah. Show us your save.
Exactly. I at the risk of burning all of my rep, I was at a Smash tournament.
Well, dude, you've lost to me, so you have no Smash rep.
Oh, no.
Anyways, go ahead.
But yeah, I was at a Smash tournament once. Or was this something I hosted? Anyways, there was a big issue because, you know, like, have the GameCube didn't have all the characters unlocked. So we had to, like, shuffle memory cards. It was a situation. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Has a good point.
Oh, yeah, back on topic.
Yeah, there's a lot of new content added to, for example, Linux Lunacy all the time. Perhaps the freshness of the content and challenges is enough for the integrity problem.
Yeah, right. That's...
And Linux Luminarium is what they meant. But yeah, like that's, you know, definitely something... Although it's... actually, this is an interesting thing that we talked about when we were originally brainstorming this cert idea is it fair that the content changes once you start the cert and getting your cert, right?
Like between starting the cert and getting it?
Yeah, because like you start the cert and then you're going through and then new stuff is added and things are changed. And now it's like, wait a minute, is like, you know, I signed up for this, but now it's being shifted. It'd be like, you know, this is why we change core content usually only at the start of the semester or end of the semester before the stuff is live in a course. I don't know. Thoughts about that of at least the integrity with the freshness and the changes?
Yeah, I've been moving more into this. Like, actually, I don't like that we only change stuff, you know, between assignments. Like, because it keeps things so static. Because I think when the course, before the course is running, I'm too busy to do whatever. And then while the course is running and I'm thinking about it, like, well, I don't want to deploy it now. So maybe in February or something, I wrote a couple of extra crypto challenges for the crypto module to bridge a gap based off of some student suggestions, actually. And then I can't launch these yet because, you know, people are... So I staged them and forgot to launch them until like September, right? And so it's like, yeah,
it's tricky. We need a versioning system, I think, eventually, so that people can either be following latest or they can be following the 2025 release or for course stability.
Interesting.
So, for example, a challenge just got deleted in Linux Luminarium like a week or two ago, Jan, as you're
Wait,
aware.
What?
You merged the PR.
Oh, that's right. I did. Yeah.
So you realize, for example, CSC 365.
I broke a bunch of shit.
You did, including CSC 365 and an assignment that has grade implications. And now suddenly everyone's grade in that assignment just changed, right?
Oops.
Now, I
By
don't
a tiny,
consider
tiny
this.
Bit.
If some student emails me listening to this and is like has a big issue, it actually is enough to matter. I'll deal with that. In this case, it's a small thing, right? Like, it's the Linux Luminarium. It's one challenge. Probably everyone has 100% on the assignment, you know? But technically, someone could have just gone from an A to a B or a B to a C or something because of the grade implications of that. And this is just, it's a hard problem. And we're in full control of the platform. Imagine another instructor trying to build on top of this stuff. It's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, maybe having... Yeah, like versioned challenges, not even versioned when you import a challenge. Yeah.
I imagine a system, you know, the great Nix that does, I mean, they're not the only people that do releases, but, you know, they have like, it's like similar to Ubuntu. They have like 2511 and 2504. And, you know, just every 6 months we have a release and we also have latest and you can track. And then we only maybe maintain for the last two releases and then it becomes deprecated and
of content. No,
this is why we need to launch certs and shit, because all of this stuff takes manpower.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that broke the cert also, right? The testing version of the cert is all based on Linux Luminarium. I had to fix it and remove that challenge from the cert.
Oh, shit. I had a brief thought, like, maybe we shouldn't delete this challenge, but I was like, no, for the progression, it makes sense.
It does, right? It was a challenge that no longer means anything. I think it was like you added a bonus challenge, and then it was actually just a sim link. There were identical challenges at that point when it was deleted.
Yes, I just wanted to
get more
practice.
So it's like you just delete it, right? It's the same challenge.
Yeah, because we added a challenge that actually did things, like practice it 5 times.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a...
We gotta have release cycles. It's the only way to fix this.
But I don't know.
The modern repo is going to solve that, though, which one day we'll talk about on this podcast.
Yeah, one day. Have you had a modern repo episode yet? I think I asked this recently as well.
I still don't know. I think we just keep hinting at it.
Okay. Well, it's
coming. Like that thing that we talk about but never do.
Well, I was working on it today.
No. I'm saying an episode. Let me look.
Yeah. So this all makes me think back to when, you know, Bohm College was a shell script that launched Netcat for people. And we didn't have to worry about any of this stuff.
It was very nice.
Mid assignment, we'd be like, oops, that assignment was a mistake. Here's something new. Dojo release cycles. That's interesting.
I think have ideas of that. That one's, I think it's less critical for instructors, but would be useful for other people, including contributors.
For contributors, it would be much. Because then we could
right
also.
To
like,
main.
Yeah, because right now we're just merging so many things, et cetera, et cetera. Figuring out, because it would
hold on. The dojo already has release cycles, right? Like, you're either on pwn.college or you're on Git and you're deploying. You can arbitrarily pick your commit. Like, the issue is production running all of these challenges. You cannot currently arbitrarily pick your commit.
Well, no, sure. But release cycles for people that are writing code to contribute to the dojo, like being able to, right now is this crazy race, which is a one reasonable route where, you know, you just have to, like, if I know I'm working on something that's going to conflict with your code, like we're both editing docker.py in whatever the API, I'm just going to push and merge as fast as possible so I don't have to be the one that whose Claude has to rebase. Yeah. Your Claude has to rebase. But if we have release cycles where we say, okay, we'll only merge the PRs on Tuesday at the infrastructure meeting.
Who does the rebase? Someone lost to rebase, right? If you have two people
then we have like a rebase currency. Like, yo, I rebased last time, so I have rebase bucks. I'm going to pay my rebase bucks not to rebase this time.
This is insane.
But it's definitely like, I think it makes sense in terms of, I don't think necessarily for Jan's reason, but it makes sense there. Like, there's a release branch and main, like maybe the dev branch, and then features go into the dev branch until we're confident in them. Like, one of the things is we can then test easily the thing that is not the currently released thing that has all the features we plan to release this week or whatever, and then we go and deploy and then move main over there, whatever production is. So
we,
like,
could add a dev
or release and dev is kind of what would be one of the main things there.
What would be cool is we could add a dev.pwn.college that, as long as there aren't backend, like as long as there aren't database changes, could run, and based on a user's cookie, we could route them to the backend. So someone could say, oh yeah, sign me up for the dev instance.
Well, if we were really doing this, we'd be able to do that automatically and like have different versions that we could just spin up. And like, actually, this is also how you do release change and release management, is you would spin up one, divert 1% of the users over to your new thing, monitor metrics, see if it breaks. But of course, we
guys,
you
were hackers.
I'm just saying, this is how
this is how
Facebook does it.
If Cloudflare isn't doing this, we aren't doing this. All right, that's all I gotta say.
Well, they have a completely different problem. They, I mean, if you looked at their stuff, right, they had like they have this problem where they need to quickly deploy changes to every single thing so they can respond to attacks, but they use that functionality and that ended up breaking things. Like, they actually do need this functionality of being able to roll back. That's what they, I think, didn't have. Like, they didn't have the ability to roll back to a known good state, which is what, you know, this is like, I'm talking like, this would be like apparently. Great
Pwn
College.
This is like a team of like 600 yeah. software engineers.
By our certs, like, this is stuff like will get better. Stuff will get stable.
First software engineer is implementing this.
By
right?
the certs, we'll get more Connors, I promise.
I need to sell a lot of certs per Connor.
Hey, you know, we can do it. We can make it happen.
Exactly.
We would also welcome the PR. If you give me a clean PR that can do this like auto magical, like high quality software engineering stuff, I would love high quality software engineering.
The problem
PRs.
Is it's not on the public stuff. I've like attempted some of this a little bit, but it's because it's you need like the infrastructure stuff too, which I don't think is
infrastructure
public.
Is code, man. What do you mean?
Yeah, I know, but you don't believe in infrastructure as code. You believe in a Docker container.
Yeah, that is code infrastructure. What do you mean? It's not Ansible, but it's
Ansible
infrastructure code.
And stuff like that is how you would manage like fleets of machines. Like Docker can't just spin up new.
Have you heard of Docker TCP, man? Docker runs over TCP.
Sure, but it is a lot more of a pain to use something like to write a custom script to spin up more AWS instances when you need them, for instance, to do auto scaling. Like there's limits there, right? Like, not to say that it's, I think it's actually a happy medium where we are now. Like, I don't think we want all of that complexity, especially because we're essentially running what is on the open source thing. Like, we're not doing a lot of custom stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right. Now with that, yelling at each other by our search.
So did you know I found out recently that their podcasts that go on for hours.
Yeah. I
sent it's
you
crazy.
One,
didn't I? What?
This is with the baby now. I freaking like I've been crushing these like 4 to 6 hour podcasts.
4 to 6 hour podcasts? Yeah. How can you listen to anything before that's like an audiobook?
Yeah, you'd listen to audiobooks.
Well, yeah, I do, but like,
yeah, then what are you talking about?
It's an audiobook. How can you listen to it? There's space battles and shit. Are there space battles in your podcast? Well, no, they're probably talking about like bathroom.
Nonfiction is a genre, man. Mm-hmm. We're just these podcasts are just nonfiction audiobooks.
Yeah, that's true.
Nonfiction
with less thought.
That's just listening to people talk.
No. Well, so it depends on the podcast. Definitely different podcasts are different. Like there, anyways. I don't know why we're talking about other people's podcasts. Listen to only our podcasts, but.
Hardcore
History
breaks.
Is a great one. They release an episode every like 2 or 3 months, and it's like 5 or 6 hours.
Do they do bathroom breaks mid episode? Do they say let's do a bathroom break? It doesn't make any sense. I can barely make it through this podcast.
It's edited, you monster. What are you talking about? Of course they don't say that. They just sentence
just
stops
and
then it comes up. They edit it together. Like it is like the good ones are very highly polished, where you can't like it sounds like a conversation. And it sounds very loose, but it actually is very highly like. Produced
like us,
not the complete opposite of us. We're actually we're pretty good. I think our sound quality is good, but we're, you know, like I used to edit you a lot in the early CTF radio episodes.
I
if you go
better.
Back no I got less time. I used to edit out every that either of us would do. I can still see the waveform in my mind in the thing.
Wow, that's wild, man. Well, but to everyone else, it just looks like we just got a lot worse at talking.
Exactly.
You set up a really, really absurdly high expectation.
Yeah, that's the trade-off, man. It's the money, time, quality trade-off. So anyways,
AI will solve all of that.
I don't know why we're talking about this, but buy our certs, please. And tell us what you think about the certs. I think that's the other key thing. We really want people's feedback. We want to understand how this stuff goes and get better. Final cert thoughts, Connor and Jan?
I'm interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, me too.
I do want people to be able to, without naming names, there are certs out there that aren't so well regarded, but are become necessary because you need certs for some of these, you know, companies that need certs and so on. And it would be cool to kind of help move the needle on the average quality of this stuff. I'm also, you know, we could be entering a minefield that we don't quite understand, where maybe there's an enshittification force that just forces all certs to become shitty.
Yep.
Which will be interesting to experience.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's what we want to know. And we want to avoid. That's one of our key goals.
Exactly. I think our strength is like we have a Discord where people are very happy to yell at us.
You know, if we make the Linux Luminarium easier, people will buy more certs.
How? It is Linux. It's not like, you want me to call up Linus? Hey man, can you make Linux simpler? I don't know. It's not even him. He's
already deleting levels. What more do you want him to do?
Yeah, exactly. He's making it so easy.
I'll call up RMS and I'll say, hey, can you, except for RMS probably doesn't use a telephone. So you have to fly to Boston.
Don't do that.
Yeah. See?
Although actually you're probably outside the range, so you're fine.
Who do you even who's Linux's manager? I want to speak to Linux's manager.
Linus?
No, he's just the kernel guy. He can't make LS simpler. It's a shit show over there.
Use and teach the Rust re-implementation. Probably has way less features.
That's even worse. Exotic new logic bug. Exotic repeated logic bugs.
Yeah.
Have you seen that amazing graph? It's like the whole infrastructure with the like little open source project.
No, but oh yeah, I mean everyone's seen that.
At the XKCD, and there's a new version of that where on the side there's a small different completely separate tower and it is Rust.
Oh my god, that's funny. Okay, and end this segment of the podcast that I would cut out if I was cutting out content because we got insanely off topic.
Why talk if Adam is just going to delete you?
But the beauty is you never knew if I deleted you and what you said because you never listened to an episode twice. Meanwhile, I listened to them two, three, or four times while editing them.
Amazing. Yeah, have you seen that Simpsons episode where like Homer gives an interview and then they edit it? It's so crazy. And in the background, there's the clock and it's just jumping around.
It's never that bad, but sometimes. Cool. Okay, Connor, anything else about certs?
I'm curious to see how it goes. I think you're also still cool if you put your blue belt on LinkedIn. Possibly more cool, but this experiment might enable new things and allow us to fund Pwn College. So it's exciting to see if that works out.
Exactly. All right. Well,
I propose something about ending the podcast?
Sure.
We should announce an email or something in case there's like people that aren't in the Twitch chat but actually listen in the future. If they have questions or thoughts, like viewer, you know, maybe we'll get questions. We could like answer them.
Podcast or
people might be
college.
Like, "Whoa, this is so cool! My business actually would pay for me to do Linux Luminarium for $200. This is such a good idea! Like, wow!" And like, just tell us, you know, like. Acted up a little bit. That would be really cool if people emailed us with that.
Cool. Keep talking and I'll try to make that happen.
Okay. And we're deciding right now if it's going to be Pwn at Pwn.college or if it's going to be podcast at Pwn.college or if it's going to be talk at Pwn.college. One of those is probably going to be the answer.
What do you think, chat? Drop a name in chat. Isn't that what people say?
Yeah, I got to say, if you email any of these things, I think they still hit us. So really, it doesn't matter.
Don't say that.
Something at Pwn.college.
Your entire question at Pwn.college.
There's one email that won't go to everyone at Pwn.college.
That's true.
What's that?
It's yawns@pwn.college. Yeah, if you email that, I won't get it unless I log into his email.
Yeah.
We should probably set up the forwarding rule so that we get that. Probably he's dropping emails.
No, I'm pretty good at keeping up with emails. I'm very good at that. I'm back on the
Should we just
inbox.
Do Pwn at Pwn.college? I feel like we just say that for everything. Do we?
Yeah.
I feel like we don't get enough emails where we need to like disambiguate, do we?
I mean, it's always nice. You know, you're planning for the future. Like, we get
should
so
we
many.
We have a social media manager.
I feel like since this is Pwn.talk, it should be talk at Pwn.college.
I mean, I also think that's good.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay. All right. If you want to gas us up or if you have questions or if you have thoughts or ideas, if you have anything to say at all, let us know.
All right. You should just close it like that. Wait, do it again. We'll do it again. You're now the closer.
For all of your thoughts and questions, if you want to pretend that you are in Twitch chat in the future, email talk@pwn.college.
Wait, no joke. Did you already do this? No, did I already happened. Do this? There's did already a talk trade? At pwn.college.
Someone logged in, heard us. I'll take care of that.
Logged in? No, I think I have it on our website, talk.pwn.college. Maybe. Oh, yeah, because the RSS feed has email addresses in them.
Have you been getting email this whole time?
I mean, it would...
All of our viewer call-ins. We should also do viewer call-ins, but we should start with emails. It's a little simpler.
Okay, we haven't gotten any emails yet, but... No, I wouldn't know.
And get your questions and comments in early. Pretty soon, we might be charging like $5 Bitcoin to have your question read. So right now it's free.
All right, great. Now, Connor, do the ending again. Sorry, I got really distracted because I saw that exact email in there.
If you want to gas us up, if you want to insult us, but put it in a nice a compliment sandwich, send us an email at talk@pwn.college.